So I don't know, this guy asked me to like take foot pictures or some shit and something about a podcast. Like, what the fuck am I doing here? I honestly have no idea. Wait, what else was I supposed to say?
It's not another magic podcast. It was at that point, with sweat and Nutella running down my body, I realized I could, in fact, slide across the convention floor and get away from security in time. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Not Another Magic Podcast. I am, as always, your host with the most, Jack Antonio Sabato De La Hoya, King Kong Bundy LaCroix. Joining me tonight, we have my man-at-arms, as always, Jeff Good.
Oh, speaking of Nutella, Steak and Shake does a Nutella milkshake. And it is dangerously delicious.
Dude, that was one of the fucking things I forgot to actually take you to while we were in Charlotte, was I wanted to find a cookout and just drag you to it. Like, kicking, screaming, you know, whatever health was left in your body, slowly deteriorating. Me and Tiff actually got a blueberry cheesecake milkshake on our way back, which was delicious. Oh, it was very good. And we're a lot worse for wear after this last weekend, folks. It's been a hot minute since we recorded. And I emphasize hot, because we went to Grand Prix Charlotte, and I'm pretty sure that you could have swimmed through the heat of Charlotte.
Yeah, it was hot as fuck.
Oh my god. Oh, it was ridiculous. Like, everybody was sweating, everybody was just perspiring all over the place. Like, I'm very surprised that our, like, entrance into the convention center didn't include a rowboat and a paddle.
yeah, shout out to the AC at Charlotte Convention Center. It held up for that many people.
Yeah, like, I was actually surprised, because, you know, outside of NASCAR, I don't think there's been that many sweaty southern-bound nerds in one location in Charlotte in a long time, so good props to them. Mm-hmm. And also, a big shout-out to all the people that did not go shirtless. I really admire you for that, because I was highly tempted to strip down as far naked as I could while we were there, and I didn't. So, you know, big props to you for resisting the temptation as well. But, folks, we don't just come to you with great stories of body odor and sweltering heat. No, ladies and gentlemen, we have a great talent within the community joining us tonight. Somebody we admire, somebody that has become an ingrained part of every Grand Prix. I feel like that's fair to say, don't you, Jeff?
Yeah, most Grand Prix.
Most Grand Prix, yeah.
It's like there's something missing when they're not there.
Absolutely. We have joining us tonight the very lovely and talented Christine Sprankle. Spranks, it's great to have you on the cast finally, and we are very proud to welcome you aboard.
No, thank you guys very much for having me. I feel loved right now.
Aww. You're an enormous part of the community now. I mean, it's been a very interesting last couple of years seeing you go from the girl who kind of, you know, you cosplayed your favorite characters at Grand Prix to now, like, you're a rock star, Christine. Seriously.
Oh, stop it.
It's also funny because Boosh mentioned you on the last episode that we recorded, like, you know, about how, like, you know, just being people who came from being nobodies to, like, just making something and doing something. And now we're sort of people in the community, so, yeah.
Yeah, it's really surreal. Like, I never, ever in a million years thought, as I was walking up to the 2011 Worlds, as my Elspeth costume was literally falling apart, I would, like, still be here today, traveling around, like, and have like 20 more magic cosplays under my belt doing this at all.
So, Christine, let's wind back the clock a little bit for those three people that might, as of yet, still be very unfamiliar with you. We're just going to ask you a couple of general questions, and then we'll dive into the juiciness of Grand Prix Charlotte. So how exactly did you get started cosplaying? Was it something you kind of like picked up at random conventions and stuff? I'm sure you've answered this question a million times. I promise this will be the only boring one we ask you.
It started about 11 years ago now, and I was super into a bunch of anime, one of them being Sailor Moon. And my friend said, hey, there's this anime convention, you have to dress up. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I went to the thrift store and made a really, really shitty Sailor Venus costume. and have never looked back. Just been doing it ever since.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I, it's one of those things where you do it just once and it's probably so much fun that it just keeps happening. And then it's 10 years later, right?
Yeah. That's literally exactly what happened. Like I had so much fun at this convention, which was, cause that was a while ago. It was in the mall, actually. So super nerdy weeaboo looking piece of trash just walks up into this mall, and there's a ton of other though. We had like taken over the mall for the day and it was absolutely amazing, and you get like addicted to it.
And you know, your cosplays have gotten amazing, or just the ones I've seen that you've done for the Magic community over the last couple of years, especially since, and by the way, I want to say I really respect you for showing the work in progress photos of what you're working on Twitter, because I come from a very big family of crafters and leather workers and quilters and seamstresses and stuff. I know how big of a pain in the ass all that stuff is. So it's always cool to see the behind the scenes stuff. But, you know, they've progressively gotten a lot more complicated and, involved, if you will, and things like that. And your work's gotten amazing, Christine, in all sincerity. So what is the hardest cosplay you've had to put together? What was the biggest pain in your ass? And what was the easiest one to put together?
Huh. It's really
and
funny,
it can be
like
magic or anything.
My money's on the Avacyn wings.
It's really funny because people ask me like, what inspires you to make stuff? And it's partly like the art and magic's really beautiful, but also just seeing how much better I keep getting also inspires me in a weird way. Like, each costume, like you said, has progressively gotten better, even though I still think most of them look like shit in some way. I think that's just also the artist, where I'm just like, it's never going to be fucking perfect.
An artist is never satisfied with their own work.
Yeah, and the work's, like, never done. Like, I think I'm going to be cosplaying Elspeth until God knows how long. But I think my hardest costume, it was Avacyn, the latest, like, my latest one, because that was just a lot going on. Like a full suit of armor almost. Giant angel wings. Light up spear. It was a lot. Elspeth was hard. Like those were, I think.
I hate to interject. Did you stab anybody with a spear?
That was the weirdest thing. Everybody kept on asking me. Nobody asked, like, I'm an angel. Like, I understand that I smite people. But that was my most, like, number one requested picture to be taken. Hey, can you stab me with that thing?
Man, magic like, players are violent. We punch dudes in bear costumes and want to get stabbed by angels.
Yeah, no, nobody wanted to be like, oh, can you, like, bless... Like, I got a couple people like, oh, can you bless me? But for the most part, it was everybody's like, can you fucking stab me real quick with that thing? Sure, man. Whatever you want.
Yeah, man, whatever you're into, if you like being stabbed by angels, that's cool, you know? We don't judge.
Yeah, whatever, I'm not gonna judge them. And then, I think my easiest one, like, so does it have to be for magic, or did you say
no?
No,
you can do whatever you want. Yeah, this, hey, we're on your time here, you can talk about whatever you want.
Oh, fuck, I don't know. I don't know, it's like, the easiest one, cause there's always some part in them that I just like, makes me hate life a little. And yet I still do it every time. Like, I get excited.
Was it when you were like, oh, that'll be easy, I'll do that. And then it, like, turned out to be way harder than you thought?
That always seems to be, like, most of them. Like,
I
thought
you wanting to burn the Tamiyo costume, I think.
Oh, straight up? Like, if people asked me if I cosplay Tamiyo, I said I never did. Tamiyo was... Yeah, no, I it never happened in my eyes. Like, I think there's only one picture of existence of it, and that's how it's gonna be for a while. But that one was way harder to do, cause just the way she's a space rabbit. Like, what are, I don't even know, I don't know why, what possessed me to, like, do that costume, but I regret that one a lot. That was just a bunch of hard parts.
It's that sweet, sweet Eric Deschamps art. I mean, it's hard to resist.
He does do beautiful planeswalkers, without a doubt.
You'll have to pardon Jeff. He's got a massive Eric Deschamps fetish, as I realized this weekend.
Apparently, yeah.
Dude, how many cards did you make the poor bastard sign? Wasn't it like 40?
46.
Did you tip him
No,
at least?
two less than that. One less than that. 45. There was one that was, there were two that were already signed. But I completed 47 of 60 cards for my, Eric Deschamps Vintage Artist Constructed deck.
Did you tip him?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
I probably put like $30 in his jar over the course of the weekend.
But I do, I love his art. One of my next costumes is gonna be from him.
Mm-hmm. Are you doing like a Sun's Champion Elsbeth?
I already did Sun's Champion.
Already did, alright, I'm behind the times.
Yeah. Jesus.
Ah, man. Nahiri, maybe? Like...
She's like halfway done. I don't know when I'll finish her.
That's already kinda... in progress.
Yeah, that one, like, the day they spoiled her, I think I bought like $60 worth of supplies, no joke. Like, as soon as they spoiled like the full art. But no, if my stupid, or no, not stupid. If I could just motivate myself more and get more aggressive with my Patreon to where I can actually fund some bigger costumes, I'm gonna do Olivia Voldaren without a doubt.
Oh,
that's
wild. Let's plug shit out of that.
I'm already reeling at the thought of those ruffles, though. I can only imagine how much work's gonna go into that. So,
yeah.
Anyways, yeah, Christine, please plug your Patreon for the love of God.
Yeah, I need to work on it more, and it's really difficult with Magic to do stuff because Hasbro lawyers will not let me print or do anything with my Magic cosplay images on it. So I can't make fucking tokens or playmats or anything cool with my cosplay on it.
That's so insane. Like,
and that makes it kind of difficult, honestly, to like raise, like be self, you know, like sufficient and subsidize my cosplay with like my cosplay images. So I had to go the Patreon route.
Yeah, it's like TOs are paying to bring you to events, but you can't actually make money like the way artists do. Like artists at least can sell like proofs and prints and stuff.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I get always a ton of messages, well, there's tons of ways of around it, and it's just like, yeah, you don't understand how scary that is, though. Like, I'm really afraid of just, like, going ahead and, like, making a Liliana playmat and just calling it, like, Dark Mage playmat. Because the Hasbro lawyers are famous for being extremely aggressive.
Yeah. I mean, the way they went after, like, Polish Tamales, who I don't think was even selling stuff.
I was about to bring that up. The way they went after PT was, even though he wasn't, he wasn't always directly citing characters and stuff like that, and he, in North American law at least, was getting away with it under fair use and parody, they nailed him to the wall. And, like, I haven't heard from PT since they started nailing him to the wall. Not that it went anywhere, but still.
Yeah, like, I don't know how much legal grounds they had, but they just made it difficult enough for him to operate that it just wasn't worth it. So there's people out there like making stuff because they love the game, and Wizards is like fucking going after them. Like, what the hell is up with that? I'm like, why?
Well, it's not Wizards.
Like, yeah, that's the thing. People gotta understand. Well, it's Hasbro
lawyers. Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, like.
Yeah, I don't know. I really wish, because it just make my life 50 fucking million times easier. And I would be able to shit out a lot more costumes if I could just do that.
Because you clearly don't have enough.
I don't. It never ends. It's become a lifestyle now. It's not just a hobby anymore. It's like, if I told you some of the things that I do, like the week leading up before a Grand Prix, you'd be like, she's fucking insane. It's just like cosplay. I got to.
Well, I mean, you got to make sure all the measurements and everything are right. You got to make sure everything is positioned correctly. Yeah.
It goes on beyond that. Like, the week before a GP, I do, like, certain skin regimens, and I don't eat dairy the whole week before a GP because it's bad for your skin. And it causes bloating. So, no joke, I changed my diet before the week before a GP and, like, my skin regimen and a few other things to, like, make sure I don't look like shit.
That doesn't sound insane. I mean, it's your job, and sometimes we all have to do horrible things for our jobs. I clean semen off computers, and Jeff, I forgot what you did. Oh, you manage websites. Yeah.
Well, actually, I work at an event planning company, like an event planning website, and the number of listings I see of like vendors who are unlicensed, like, Disney character cosplayers who are advertising to get paid to play unlicensed Disney characters at, like, children's parties and stuff, just warms my heart. Like, I see them all the time, and, like, Disney doesn't go after those people as hard as Hasbro goes after, like...
The one cosplayer?
Yeah, like, the one cosplayer
who
gives a shit.
The one person that's just, like, trying to do shit.
One guy making a comic, like, yeah, it just makes no sense at all.
Yeah, it's weird. it literally boggles my mind. So I've gone the Patreon route, which is really nice so far. It's just I have to... It's not that I'm lazy. It's just I focus so much on the costumes that I forget to post, like, in certain places. Mm-hmm. But I really like it so far. You get really involved with it, and you get, like, you feel, like, attached to your patrons because you're just like, oh, they really believe in me.
It's like, wow, these people really give a shit.
Yeah.
People actually care.
Exactly. It feels so great. And it's just like the first, like, when I first got, like, my first 100, I literally started bawling because I was just like, I can't believe this is happening. Mm-hmm. I can make more costumes. Like, you know, I literally lost it. Like, I literally lost it. So... I don't know. Hopefully I get, as greedy as it sounds, hopefully I get more, because I actually can grow. It really will help me grow more, and I can make bigger, more ridiculously stupid costumes.
Oh, yeah, there we go. There's Elspeth.
Like Olivia.
Well, you know, it's great that, I guess the internet age has gotten to the point where people that we truly believe in, we honestly can support through services such as this, because Christine, you know, you're not the only person to do magic cosplays, but you're by far the most iconic. And I think the fact that people can't support you through what would be traditional means and are going through Patreon and stuff like that, at least, like, people are able to show their appreciation for you. Yeah. And we really do appreciate what you do and respect what you do in this community. And it's like I was saying at the start of the episode, like, whenever there's a Grand Prix, I kind of expect to see your pictures coming up in my Twitter feed. Like,
that makes me super happy to hear. That's how I want it. This wasn't my goal at all when I first started doing it, but now it's like, I want to go as far as I can, just to see how far I can do it, and honestly, it's just so much fun.
Mm-hmm. Like, have you thought about doing any, like, how-to videos on, like, certain aspects of building costumes?
Yeah, that's what I'm slowly going to build up more, too. Like, the more the Patreon grows, the more, like, I'm going to just be able to focus on cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
And so videos and other stuff will come.
Because I know there's a lot of, like, sort of YouTube channel people will do Patreon and stuff like that. I'm familiar with Patreon through, actually, the guy who founded it, Jack Conte, is how I learned about it, like, when he was just starting it. So I love the concept of Patreon.
Yeah, it's better than just, like, a Kickstarter or GoFundMe.
Yeah.
It's more like a subscription, and you actually get way more involved.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not just, like, I don't get more involved with, you know, my patrons can physically get more involved in the costumes, and that just makes the whole thing just better.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm excited.
It connects creators with their supporters and the people who appreciate what they do, rather than just putting it out somewhere like YouTube, where you get, you know, a lot of people who are fucking assholes and terrible subhuman people.
It also re-emphasizes the sense of community that brought, you know, me and Jeff to this microphone and you to GPs. Yeah,
exactly.
So, I do have one more funny story, and then I think we'll all delve into the juiciness of Grand Prix Charlotte. So, Christine, when you made the Rolling Stones thingy...
Oh my god, I can't believe that happened.
Yeah, that... Now, how I heard about that is actually kind of funny. Because my mother all the time, like, whenever there's some kind of nerdy shit going on, my mom emails me thinking I'll go to it, along with asking me when I'm going to go back to church. And one day she stumbled across the Rolling Stones thing before I was even, like, awake enough to check Twitter and see that this was a thing that happened. And so I'm sitting there, and I see the email from her, and I'm like, fine, I'll humor her. And I click on it, and she's like, hey, Jackie, this magic thing happened in Vegas. They have a lot of pictures. You should click on it. And then I click on it, and there's your fucking picture right at the top, and I about spit my coffee out. So it was definitely cool seeing you make the Rolling Stones. That was fucking amazing. And congrats on that, because I doubt anybody else in this community is ever going to be that famous. So there you go, kid.
Yeah, I literally... I couldn't believe it, like, at all. That picture, though, is fucking ridiculous. Like,
yeah, shout out to his Joey Pasco, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great shot.
Yeah, shout out to Joey for just the entire weekend taking time out of his really busy schedule to just take, you know, some photos of my each of my costumes throughout the weekend. Mm-hmm. It was fucking privilege. Yeah. It was, and so,
yeah, what
it was amazing.
Costumes did you have at Vegas? Because me and Jack weren't there because we couldn't, like, we just couldn't do Vegas.
It was it was so much fucking money. Like, people are like, oh, you know. Like, I lost quite a bit of money. There was no making money. It was just straight take a nosedive and sacrifice, like, another costume just to go to this. But, I did Soul Warden, which people were like, who the fuck are you? And I was like, Soul Warden. Let me do the pose real quick. You had to do the goddamn hand pose. But, Eternal Witness. Addison.
I love that classic Soul Warden. That's such a great art.
I do too. I like doing cards like that, like super old cards, like Well Wisher, Mercadian Mass Brainstorm. When the old players say it, when old players see it, you could just see them like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
that's fucking Brainstorm, you know, Or you see, like, them get super traumatized where they're like, holy fuck, like, I hate that card. But it's really fun. Like, I really, like, I hope I can go to GP Seattle because supposedly there's going to be a Weatherlight crew there and I want to join in super bad. I want to be the Dark Angel Selenia, like, super bad.
I'm pretty sure if you ask a bunch of random cosplayers if Christine Sprinkle can join them, they're going to say yes.
But and then Liliana Sunday. Ahead. There we go. Yeah. That was the lineup.
There we go.
Always have to fucking bring Liliana everywhere.
Yeah. We can probably merge that question into Charlotte. Sort of the same thing.
Yeah. Segway. Grand Prix Charlotte.
Yeah, that was a hell of a thing. Jack and I were able to go to that because Jack lives like 2 hours away.
I only live an hour and a half away. Thank you very much.
Yeah, not even 2 hours. And I got a cheap enough flight and a cheap enough hotel.
So, Christine, how fucking terrible was the weather?
Cosplay-wise, it was really bad. I mean, I thought the heat in Vegas was bad, but I'm from the West Coast, and we don't do humidity at all. Yeah. It's all super-duper dry. And I literally, the first day I got in, I was like, my chest really fucking hurts. Like, every time I breathe, I'm literally having a hard time breathing. And at first I was like, what's wrong with me? And somebody was like, where are you from? California. And they're like, well, see, you're just not used to breathing water. That's the problem here. So don't worry. You'll get used to it. And by the end of the weekend, I could breathe, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sunday wasn't
God,
so bad.
It was nasty.
Sunday was a lot more dry than Friday and Saturday were. I noticed that. For sure.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
it was.
Because I lived in, like, Santa Fe, New Mexico for most of the year, so I could, like, dry 90s I could deal with, but it was those humid 90s. Man, yeah. Friday and Saturday, those were rough.
Yeah, it was, and the shitty part was I wore Noble Hierarch for all 3 days, at least, like, for a few hours each day.
Mm-hmm.
There's no laundry, like, so I just had to, you know, there was no washing the costume all 3 days, so I felt bad by the third day. I was just like, I want to get out of this costume super bad.
Just having sweaty nerds dripping all over you, too.
It was just, yeah, like, I haven't unpacked that costume, and I'm just kind of afraid to right now. Not gonna lie.
So, did you get to pull yourself from your star-powered appearance at all during the weekend?
Oh, like out of a pack? Did I literally get to pull myself out of a pack, or?
Did you get to enjoy the city at all, or talk around and play Magic or anything?
Whenever somebody says, "Did you pull yourself?" Like, no joke. The first thing I think of is like, "Did I pull like a Noble Hierarch?" No, I didn't. But. Only at night when I got to go eat. First of all, don't go to Braz. This like Brazilian restaurant.
Yeah, that place was shut down pretty much all 3 days we were there.
Brazilian steakhouse. Oh God, yeah, don't
know. Were like two Brazilian steakhouses within like, you know, three or four blocks of the convention center. I was like, man, I'm guessing one of those is good and the other is not.
Well, it was just, like, the food was fine. It was just, the main thing was they walk around with, like, these skewers of meat, right? Yeah. And they just, you know, cut you off a little bit of this meat and you eat it. But the thing was, like, I think the problem was they were just trying to make so many of these skewers that half of the time the meat inside was still kind of purple. It wasn't even pink. So it's just like super rare. Like that shit was still mooing like on my fucking plate when they serve it to me. And I was just like, I'm not down for this. I'm not down to get like shit my brains out all rest of the weekend just because of this.
We actually dodged a similar bullet. There was this place that I saw that was like the best rated, like possibly like one of the best rated restaurants in Charlotte that I really wanted to go to called the Cowfish, which was a sushi and burger bar.
Jeff,
that doesn't amazing. Sound right. That does not sound amazing to me at all.
Well, I was captivated. There was a picture of like a bento box with a slider in it. And I'm like, I want that.
Your survival instincts are non-existent.
So like, I tweet that we're going there. Like, Ben Blyweiss replies, who's apparently watching the GP Charlotte tag, he's like, oh, I want, like, tell me how it was. We get there, there's a sign on the door that's like, unfortunately, we have, you know, had to voluntarily close after, like, a repeated reports of, like, illness from our customers after eating.
Jeff.
God damn it.
Just admit you were trying to kill every fucking person in the party simultaneously. Like, just let it off your chest.
Apparently, beef and Alex raw fish don't go together. Like, it's...
Yeah. No, nobody else is here. You were trying to fucking kill all of us. Just admit it. All right, so little side notation for both of you. If you ever make your way to Charlotte again for any kind of anything, God forbid it's in June or July again. Yeah. Never go, like, Charlotte really likes to pretend it's more important than it really is, okay? Like, and I'm saying that as somebody from a small town whose entire city could fit in one block of Charlotte, with the Walmart we have.
Yeah. They probably could have all fit in the convention center.
Yeah, like, in all sincerity, I'm pretty sure the entire length of the convention center was for a city. I'm not even joking about that. But with that said, Charlotte really likes to pretend it's more important than it is. And so you have a lot of these extremely pretentious places, you know, like Cowfish and Brass and things like that. If it's not like a recognizable burger and beer joint, don't go there. Like, just don't. Cause you're either courting with death or it's going to be $50 a plate and it's going to be fucking ridiculous. There were actually some pretty nice eateries up there. I'm glad we stayed within safe distance of most of them. But yeah, Charlotte was pretty intense for me personally. This was basically like, and this is going to sound super fucking weird, but I'm sure both of you will understand. Like my real life and my MTG life have always been like completely fucking separate spheres of reality.
Amen.
And like, yeah, and like the, you know, walking away from the MTG scene is literally as easy as, well, I'm not getting on fucking Twitter today. Goodbye, everybody. And just turning off my phone and walking away. So for whatever random motivation, I decided, hey, this weekend, I'm going to pitch my social anxiety to the curb. I'm going to meet my team. I'm going to take my wife and it'll be great. Yeah, I'm going to have a great time in Charlotte with all my buddies. And so I invited my wife, and Tiffany is not a nerd by, like, any sense of the phrase. And she had no idea, like, what the Magic community was like or what, you know, even how to play Magic or anything. And literally her whole interpretation of what the Grand Prix was going to be like was based on who I was cursing about on Twitter that day, you know? And so we both pile in the car, and we make our way to Charlotte. We almost see somebody die in front of us, which I thought was going to be a bad omen for the weekend. Luckily, they lived. And so, like, we meet up with Jeff. And, Jeff, when we went and picked you up at the airport, I got to thinking about this afterwards. I am super fucking glad that TSA didn't pull the car over or anything. Because, like, We roll up on Jeff, and I scream at him like a madman. I'm like, get in the car! There's no time! Come on! I'm like smacking the side of the vehicle. And Jeff knows what's up, but like 60 people around us are just like, oh my god, he's got a bomb. How brown is he? He's not brown, but that's okay. He's probably
gonna like, okay, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, and so like we,
it's like,
we
no, finally, it's cool, he's white, whatever. We don't care.
Yeah, and so like we get to and yes, before everybody says anything, I let my wife drive because Tiffany is an amazing fucking driver, and she's the only reason me or Jeff are still alive.
I always imagined the way we would meet is like we'd be on opposite ends of a convention, like the convention hall, and like despite my eyesight being utter shit, we'd like lock eyes from across and just like, you know, with purpose stride at each other and then like embrace in the middle of the hall or some shit. That's
wow.
Not how it happened.
You've turned our friendship into a romantic comedy, and I, you know,
I just figured that was the only way it could happen, but it didn't, so.
Well, you know, there's a lot of men I could possibly see myself with at some point, and you're by far the most stable. I'll say that. You know, like, you're not an action hero star. You're not a kung fu master, but you're stable, and I like you, Jeff. So we one day that will happen. Okay.
So, we'll just have to stage it or something. You know?
Oh my god, yeah, we'll have to. So anyways, like we pile up in the car, we go back to the hotel, we meet up with Millsy. Which Millsy, I don't know if you're listening to this right now. You kicked a tremendous amount of ass. It was great having you in our party for the weekend. And Millsy was kind enough to drive us literally all weekend long in his super fine ass, whatever the hell car he was driving.
Car that had fucking AC.
Yeah, actually, honestly, it could have like had no doors and had a horse hooked up to it, but it had AC, and I'm pretty sure that was the only qualifier that fucking mattered. To be completely sincere.
And he was the guy that I didn't know at all before we got there, but apparently everyone there fucking knew.
Like, yeah!
And we walked in, and everyone's like, oh, hey, let's see, like, well, apparently everyone knows this guy, not us. Awesome.
Yeah, well, apparently, like, Millsy was a judge once upon a time, which explains quite a bit, to be completely sincere. So anyways, we all pile up in Millsy's car.
Worked for SCG? Like.
Yeah, he did. He did. Yeah. And, so, you know, lots of insider stories about working under Mr. Pete Hoefling, which was, interesting, to say the least. I won't disclose any of those here for pertinent reasons. But, so we pile up into the car, and we arrive Friday. I should specify that before I keep going with the story.
Yeah.
And we pull up to the convention center, and like the whole time, Jeff, Millsy, and me have just been exchanging stories and laughing, talking about Riley calling Chewy Uncle Choo Choo and being mad because he's not a fucking train. So that story, I don't think I've told that here. So the day before we were going to go to the Grand Prix, I was telling my daughter, I was like, you know, hey, daddy's going on a business trip. I got to pack the car, you know, yada, yada, yada.
Business trip.
And, yeah. Well,
lying to children is so easy.
Well, I couldn't just be like, yo, I'm ditching you to go hang with all my friends this weekend. I'll see you Sunday. All right, kid. All right, cool. Give me a high five. We're done.
See you later. Bye.
Yeah. Like, how terrible would that be? And, I told her, I was like, yeah, daddy's gonna go see Uncle Jeff and Uncle Choo Choo, and I'll come see you Sunday. And she just straight up looks at me, and she's like, is Uncle Choo Choo a train? And I was like, no, Uncle Choo Choo's not a train. And she was like, well, why is he called Uncle Choo Choo then, daddy? That doesn't make any sense. I was like, tell you what, I'll show you your Uncle Choo Choo. And I pull up a video of, Chewie's Hearthstone guide that he did, and she's like infuriated that he's not a locomotive, right? And so I have to call up Uncle Choo Choo, naturally, and she's talking to him, and she's just like, Uncle Choo Choo, I'm so mad at you right now, but I still love you. I wish you were a train, but you're just a man that says Choo Choo, and that's okay. So anyways, oh yeah, she's my kid. There's no other way to say it other than that. But anyways, so we make it into the convention center, and it's then when I realize, oh shit, this is actually happening. Like, all these people that are just avatars on Twitter, I'm actually gonna meet these people, and instead of seeing some random anime girl, it's gonna be them. This is gonna be really fucking weird. I need to brace myself for this. And so, we're going down the escalator, and I take a deep, 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 deep breath, and Tiffany just hugs me, and she's like, look, you're fine. You're okay. These people know and care about you. It's gonna be alright. And for a minute, I buy into it. And it's the same shit that happened last time I went to Grand Prix Charlotte. I look up and I'm expecting like wall-to-wall nerds, but it's Friday, so there's like nobody there, really. And, you know, this weight's lifted off my shoulder. And so we make our way down to the convention center, and I completely fuck up Chewie's interview he was doing with Kibler, which was pretty goddamn hilarious, because I didn't even know who Brian Kibler was. Okay, like, I didn't know what Kibler looked like. And so I, like, walk up behind... I don't really follow Magic Pros very much. Yeah. Like, I've seen the Kibler mat, but, like, you know, like, when I see Kibler, I'm like, oh, the handsome white guy, right? Like, I don't
I mean, come on, Jack, that has to eliminate, like, almost everyone else who it could be. It's like, oh, a handsome guy at the Magic Tournament must be Kibler.
Jeff, you're no longer my number one pick for life mate, okay? So you're sitting in the corner. But
I know there's me too, but come on, like.
So I go up behind Chewie while he's talking to Kibler, and I like clutch his man titties, right? And completely ruin the interview. And which was a negative, I think, all around. Kibler did not seem amused like I was hoping he would. So anyways, Chewie points me over to where the Bro Deals crew is. And I know a few of them are listening to it right now. So I'm going to go ahead and say this as well, because I know I'm talking way too goddamn much. Christine, we invited you on to hear the delicious sound of my voice.
I can't tell you actually how much I'm thoroughly enjoying this right now.
Thank you very much. So anyways, Chewie points us in the direction of the Bro Deals crew. And let me go ahead and say, folks, I know you're Alex, Renee, Trevor, Zeki. I know you guys are probably listening to this right now. And I'm just going to go ahead and say I've never been more nervous about meeting people in my entire life than I was meeting you guys. I just, like, these are people that know me to a degree. But they, like, we never have really interacted with each other outside of Twitter, you know, and exchanging jokes and them, lasciviously looking at the porn I post when they're away from work. And, so I walk up to them and immediately Renee sees me and she just like runs up and hugs me. She's like, Jack, you made it. And I'm like, whoa. Okay. I was not expecting that. And then like I walk over to the table and there's Celso and there's Zeki, which, okay, I gotta say this about Zeki. If we were ever in a disaster situation like fucking San Andreas, I'm counting on Zeki because he is built like brick shit house. He looked like Superman. Like, I don't know how else to put it other than.
Yeah, most likely to have a secret identity. Like,
for real though. Like, I was, you know, shocked and amazed. And so then I, like, there was Alex and like, then there was all these people. And so, like, I sit down, and, like, I'm talking to them. They're offering me bacon, like, wrapped everything, you know, like, bacon-wrapped newspapers, bacon-wrapped crackers, everything. And so I'm just, like, guzzling this down, and I'm just, for a moment, like, I realized that all the shit that terrified me about coming to this event, all the shit that I was worried about, like, letting everybody down with expectations when they met me, and, like, all the stuff that I thought could have gone wrong this weekend, it didn't. And for that, I really have to say thank you to absolutely everybody I met this weekend. And it wasn't just the Bro Deals crew that I met either. Like, there were so many, like, listeners of people who, like, you know, listen to Monday Night Magic or some of the other shit I was on, or, like, people who actually, like, read my blog, just straight up come up and told me that following my blog was the brightest and stupidest idea they ever had, and they loved it, and they wanted me to keep working on it. And just... all these random people. I met Chris Lansdale. I met Adina. I met, God, just everybody. Like, the entire internet came up, basically. And, to that, I honestly have to thank everybody because, I had a lot of insecurities going into this event that I was going to be able to handle it and that I was going to be the person you all expected. And you guys, you didn't care. You were just fucking happy I was there. And that honestly means the world to me. So to anybody listening right now, I'm trying really hard not to become an emotional bitch, but thank you very much for just being you guys and giving me an opportunity to be myself. It really meant the world to me.
Tear.
Yeah. Sweet. And yeah, I'll echo, those guys were all awesome. I had seen, like, Trevor and Renee and Zeki at GP New Jersey. I was there for, like, a few hours. But they were, like, on their way to play Commander or something, so really get a chance to talk to them at all, and didn't fully know what they did at Bro Deals. Like, I'd met Chewie there, but got to spend a bunch more time with him. He was just as awesome. Celso. I spent a bunch of time with Celso on Sunday, after fucking everyone else left. Assholes.
He is a giant fucking teddy bear. He is a giant teddy bear. I love Celso to death.
Yeah, he's not known as a bear for nothing. He was the one who was willing to, like, drive 20 minutes to go to a Steak and Shake. Because we don't fucking have those up here. And they're awesome. Which, that was a little weird. Like, 1:30 on a Sunday afternoon, place was packed. There was a wait. And, like, by the time we got out, still fucking packed.
Yeah, like, there's something you gotta understand about the South, though. Yeah. Like, we act terrible all fucking week, okay? And then we go to church, and we ask forgiveness for everything we've done that week. And then immediately we turn around and go be gluttons. Like, wherever's local. And usually it's, yeah, like, the burger joint, the Steak and Shake, the cookout, whatever. So, like, yeah, that's to be expected around here. And also, I don't know if you noticed this, there's dick all to do in North Carolina. So we eat and we stay inside because it's hot. So there you go.
Yeah. Jumping back to Friday. Friday we did the sort of the Bro Deals dinner at the Mellow Mushroom with, like, all the Bro Deals writers and, you know, a couple people. So that place was fucking delicious. That was only a couple blocks away.
Yeah, and surprisingly, it was not a head shop, so I was happy about that. Yeah. I was. Well, you hear a thing like Mellow Mushroom, and that's another thing about North Carolina, okay? Like, we know how to grow it down here, I guess is the best way to put it. And just like every major city you go to, even in my fucking, like, shitty ass small town, there's head shops everywhere. And, so, yeah, like, I had heard of Mellow Mushroom before, but, you know, when I hear that, I immediately think of something else.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was...
Yeah.
And the only Mellow Mushrooms, like, I've encountered were not pizza, that's for sure.
Yeah, so I was overjoyed that it was a very spectacular pizza place, and big shout-out to the waitress that was there for the podcasting dinner. Holy hell, did she not work her ass off?
Yeah, that was Saturday. That was, like, twice as many people, and...
Put
up,
okay,
with all our
So Chewie decided that we should, like, all the podcasters should convene on Mellow Mushroom on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided to call in our reservation as we were fucking walking there. So of course he's like, yeah, we got 15 people. That's all that's at our party. And so we get there and there's like 18 of
us. That's not what Chewie fucking sounds like, you asshole.
That is a dramatic, dramatic reenactment, okay? Dramatization.
Right, so, gross dramatization. Names have been changed to protect the
Or is that the voice of Uncle Choo Choo the train?
Oh fuck, we have to talk about that. Okay. So anyways, yeah, Chewie's just like, yeah, we got like 15 people in the party, you know, it won't be too bad. And I, you know, the waitress was probably like, oh cool, it's a large party, but I'll get a great tip, so it'll be okay. Yeah. And I think by the end of the night we had like 20-25 people show up.
Yeah,
because
it was somewhere in that range. Because we'd spread from like the booth, like the enormous booth with like a couple tables added onto it, to like a couple more little booths. And I think there was a handful of people at the bar too.
Oh yeah,
it's a bunch of people. So yeah, we had, like, all of Monday Night Magic was there. Chewie, Squee, Clues. Squee, whose real name is Bloodworth. I don't get how you need a nickname when your name is Bloodworth, but sure.
Squee has an awesome, like, badass, like, there's fucking heavy metal songs wrote about his first name. That's pretty much where we'll leave it.
Who else was there? A couple other Manipool guys, Mike from Manipool. I'm not as familiar with them, which I'm kind of embarrassed about, but whatever.
Mike is, all you need to know is Mike is actually the most interesting man in the world from the Dos Equis commercial.
Mm-hmm. Like, he's the young version of that, yeah.
Yeah. ADH Panda and his friend was there. Mm-hmm. Stark Maximum was there. The guys from Your End Step were there. MTG Cast went to Mellow Mushroom. That's really all you need to know.
Just about.
I think we terrified the management there, but, we were, you know, to give big props to all the nerds, everybody was really cool. Everybody tipped the waitress heavily by the end of the night. And, you know, none of us were slothfully drunk, so that was really fucking cool. I'm glad that...
And they had a beer named after a Magikarp.
They did?
Not intentionally, I'm sure, but there was a beer called the Hornet's Nest. Yeah, it was a Hefeweizen. It was pretty tasty.
It was a Hefeweizen.
Yeah. German wheat beer. Yes.
Oh, sorry, excuse me. No, dude, like, there's very few import beers, like, even when I was drinking, I could tolerate, because I just, like, here's beer to me, okay? Let's say you take, like, a domestic beer, like Coors Light or Bud Light or something like that. It tastes like bread or stale bread, okay? You take, like, a fruit-flavored beer. It tastes like the grown-up version of the apple, of whatever juice it is, okay? German beers taste like ass. I'm not a big beer drinker. There's been Angry Orchard's pretty okay. There was a beer I had one time called Scrimshaw that was made in Alaska, I think. Scrimshaw is really, really, really good, but they didn't have any of that on tap. So yeah, but yeah, we composed ourselves very good. And I think despite, our slovenly neck bearded appearances, we're great ambassadors for the community. We did damn good, and I'm proud of everybody.
Yeah, Sosa was wearing his Tampa Bay Lightning jersey there.
In fucking 98 degree heat!
That is commitment.
Oh my god! I was so terrified, because, like, Celso at one point in the night, like, they put the hockey game on for him, and he really got into that fucking game, so I knew it was, like, intense. And he was sitting there, like, cutting his pizza, and I'm like, please, dude, don't die. Like, don't have a heart attack right here, please.
Don't cut your fingers off.
Don't cut your hand off. Don't cut your fingers off. Like, please don't die. And I'm trying to think of who else. Oh, what else happened? Jesus Christ. I got to see Expensive as Fuck Mall. That was interesting.
When Cowfish was closed, we went to, like, this super upscale mall that was nearby. And ended up having Chipotle, which actually hit the spot just fine. So,
no regrets. I do want to say a big fuck you to everybody at the convention this weekend. And let me explain why. So, like, no. Like,
everyone is great. Fuck you all.
No, like, I got to realize how deeply from poor bumfuck Mayberry I was this weekend. Okay. Because, Renee and you, like, you mentioned Chipotle. I've never fucking been to Chipotle, like, ever in my entire goddamn life. And so, like, that was a new thing that happened this weekend that everybody apparently has done. So I was the nerd. I was the nerd in the sea of nerds. Yeah. And, then, like, Renee and Milzy were talking about some common place where they were. And they were like, yeah, you guys have that down here, right? And I was just like, no, we got a Walmart and a Foot Locker. Like, we have all the meth you could ever want in Forest City. I got to definitely realize I am from a very small town this weekend. But it was cool. Like, it was exceptional talking to everybody from all their different corners of life. And even that was something my wife commented on, because, it got to where, Saturday we decided, you know, me and her needed to pull away from the GP for a bit and do coupley shit. And we walked, 3 blocks to a little hole in the wall called Mortimer's, which was trying really, really, really hard to not look like a bar, not look like a new bar, by having, like, you know, handcrafted furniture and all this other stuff. But it was still a fairly new, trendy bar. And I had my once a year reminder of why I'm sober beer, and Tiffany had some beers. And, you know, it was pretty nice and quiet. And we realized, like, we could look up and not see the tops of the buildings and stuff like that. And so, like, we both realized we were from Mayberry, but something funny that happened while we were there is Tiff was sitting there, and these guys walked by us, and she just looked at me, and she's like, they're magic players. And I was like, well, how do you know? Like, everybody in this fucking city has a backpack with, like, their life in it. You know, like, that could be anybody. And she's like, watch them. They're going to turn the corner, and they're going to start talking about decks. And I was like, all right. So they turn the corner, and sure as shit, the guy was like, yeah, so in the main event, I started playing this. And I looked at her, and I was like, all right, so, like, how many magic players do you see walking past us? And she pointed all of them out, and sure as shit, they all had, like, a deck box or a playmat tube or, like, something. And it was a huge surprise for her to just see how many people were at this event, first of all, and just seeing like all the different, you know, walks of life that come into the Magic community. And even like, you know, when she saw you in passing.
White guys in glasses of all shapes and sizes.
Shut up. So she saw you in passing, Christine, and she was like, so is that like, you know, somebody that works for Wizards? I was like, oh no, that's just somebody that really, really enjoys, you know, dressing up as Magic characters and enjoys coming out to the community. And she does it because it's something she enjoys and she likes doing it for the community. And she was just like, she's way too gorgeous to be at this GP.
Oh my God.
And I was like, well, you know, we have a lot of women in the community and, you know, just sit and look like they're here, you know? And so she looked around. And like, that was something she noticed too, is we had a ton of women judges working this weekend, which was cool. We had a ton of female players who showed up in force, which was super cool. Mm-hmm. And I think it made her a lot more comfortable being at the Grand Prix. And, it made this, like, I know how big the Magic community is, cause I've been doing this podcast and shit for about 8 years now. So I know how big it is, but she had no idea that, you know, the game really has this many players and the events attract this many people coming to this thing. So if there's one thing I can definitely say about the GP this weekend, from an outsider's perspective looking in, it was very much a positive experience for her. And I mean, Tiff didn't really do anything except sit around and watch me just like blush and be like, yeah, I'll sign your card, buddy. Not a problem. Ah, yeah, I'll mention you in the article. Yeah, sure. But it was a great experience for her. And, I'm hoping, you know, she'll be willing to go out to another event with me. I think that would be super fucking cool because it would give us an excuse to get out of the house for a while and, see the finest convention centers that North America has to offer.
Portland, Maine needs a legit convention center. I've been looking into that, and we don't fucking have one, and that's bullshit. Because Charlotte is not really that much bigger than Portland from walking around. Like, it's... Man, we need a real convention center.
Like, Portland, Oregon?
No, Portland, Maine.
Oh, I was like, dude, you guys have a really good one. Yeah, never mind.
No, that's fine. It gets confused all the time. Every time, every time I see GP Portland on, like, the schedule I had to be like, no, it's not that one. It's the other one.
Yeah, I get a little too excited for a second.
Yeah. But yeah, Jack's wife is awesome. She put up with all our bullshit with fucking
Yeah, but no, seriously, oh, go ahead, Jeff. There was a really good turnout of females at GP Charlotte.
Yeah. And you know what, Sprangle, I want to give you some credit for making women feel more welcome at events. Like, to be perfectly honest. Like, I'm not a woman, so I can't say it directly, but just like, you know, I think your presence, it can't hurt, like.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope it's less awkward for them, because when they look at me, they're like, well, at least I'm not dressed as her.
there's someone else for the nerds to ogle. Well,
there's somebody else that is way more ridiculous looking. I'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, I hope it's something like that. I never thought it would be something like that. I thought, oh, there's tons of people. It's like a convention. You're supposed to dress up. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad it's turned into something, she's here. She hasn't died or anything. Like, they haven't eaten her. Yeah. I'll be fine.
I'm sure you've quite a few stories of some awkward nerds, but...
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah.
Okay, that response said everything. Yeah. Right, there's two things. Go ahead, Jeff.
Is there a story like that you can tell, or that you would even want to remember or recall?
Like, at GPs, usually it's pretty good. Yeah. I just have, like, those few, like, every GP, no matter what, I always have, like, these few guys who just stand around, like, my table and just don't say anything. They just stand there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of just like, oh, okay, like... The fuck are you doing? Like, fucking either say something, like, I don't know, like, you're making this super painful for me right now.
But, like, when there's no one else there.
Like, yeah, that's exactly what happens. And it's just like this one dude just standing there. And they don't say... Like,
It throws me for a loop that people aren't that self-aware of how they're interacting with, like, you or anybody, okay? Because, like, when I actually came and saw you, I believe it was Saturday, Christine, like, I knew how sweaty I was and how much I stank, okay? So I was gonna, like, wait until I was not so concrud to go speak to you. And so I apologize if you got a big whiff of the man odor, I guess, that was coming off
of
me.
Oh, God, no, I didn't at all.
But, yeah, like, I, you know, just be aware of your surroundings, gentlemen, and be aware of what you're doing in your surroundings is probably the best thing we can say to that. I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah, there's two more quick things I want to touch on, and then we'll try to close this out fairly quickly.
I got so much more shit on my list, Jack. You have no idea.
Oh, you do? Okay, well, I want to talk about the creatureless queue with you, Jeff.
Can okay, we talk about that real quick? Which I didn't even put on my list. Yeah. I got to demo with you, Jack, Milzy, and Alex.
Yeah.
We did, just a little Rochester draft of the completely creatureless cube. I could go on about it forever, but I'd rather hear your thoughts, Jack.
Okay, so, this cube was a big mindfuck. Like, if I have to mention anything at first, I should probably say that I have never cubed, but I've drafted. And so we decided we were going to Rochester drafter this cube. And so
For those who are not familiar, so you do the packs face up to do the picks, which for four people is kind of ideal for this, especially if they haven't seen the cube before. Because this like everyone sees every card in the pack. And you know what other people are building and be like, oh, that's what they're doing with those cards. No, they're doing that. Like, so you have you get to see a little better what's going on.
Yeah. So I ended up drafting, I drafted Yawgmoth's Bargain, the deck, basically.
Yep.
I had a bunch of enchantments, Enchantress's Presence. But I really had no way to win outside of Sanguine Bond. So like what I would do. Oh, and Staff of Nin. Yep. So, I played against Alex who drafted Storm. And game one just blew me the fuck out. Game two was a very slow, grinding death for him, basically. But Alex took it like a champ, and even, like, I thought he was going to win on one of his turns. You know, he blew the whole wad, and he had a storm count of 7 with Ignite Memories. And he got really close. He got me down to 8 after hitting, you know, whiff, 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 4, 4, 4, 4. And so I actually thought he was going to get me. But I ended up finally killing him with Staff of Nin. But he took it like a champ. Alex, you know, God bless you, man. You did great. What did you end up drafting, Jeff?
I drafted like a blue splash, white and red, kind of planeswalker deck. I had a Johnny Vengeant. I had a couple others. I think I had Tameo and Venser. I didn't really have any toys for Venser, but I also had I had an Isochron Scepter and a couple burn spells and some counter spells and stuff, so.
I mean, naturally, yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyways, while we were playing this, it really fucked with my head because, like, I've been playing a tremendous amount of Hearthstone recently where something happens every single turn, whether you want it to or not. And also, like, in a traditional game of Magic, you're like, oh, okay, it's turn 3, it's turn 4, it's turn 6, serious shit's about to start happening. And it didn't hit the board. Like there was no, like, Predator Dragons, there was no Tormagoise, there was nothing like that. So, like, I had to completely rethink my timeline of when threats were actually going to start showing up. Mm-hmm. And it was a very interesting thought experiment. It's something I would definitely want to do again. So if we ever go to another event, you have to bring it with you.
Yep. Oh, yeah, this is the one where, like, I could only fit one in my carry-on. I couldn't bring the Colored Mana-only cube. I had to bring this one only, so. But this is the one I try to bring because it really pushes the boundaries of what is Magic. Really have to rethink, like, how am I going to win the game? Like, you don't just have, oh, these are my creatures jammed in, I'll get there eventually. No.
Yeah, because like, what it
even
did
if it's like a fucking,
like,
razor tip whip or whatever that's dealing one a turn, you need something to win the game.
Yeah, and, like, what was funny about that was, you know, in traditionally playing, you're like, okay, even if I cast this, like, it's gonna trade with their guy. It's gonna trade up into this and that. And there's a lot more war of attrition for board space. Mm-hmm. And the way the Creatureless Cube plays out, it's actually a lot more like a traditional card building game. Mm. Or like, you know, like any kind of resource game, I guess is the best way to think of it. And it felt to me more like a real-time strategy experience. And I mean that as a compliment, though. Like, it was a very cool experience. Yeah. And, so Jeff, I highly encourage you to, you know, either write an article for Pro Deals about it, or, I'm going to con you into doing one day, I swear. Or, you know, dude, bring it with you next time we're at an event, because I did not get as much time with that as I wanted. Let me put it that way.
Well, you can definitely mock draft it on CubeTutor. It's up there, so.
All right. I'll have to check out CubeTutor. So anyways, that's all I got. Jeff, what do you got?
All right. So, couple other GP Charlotte things. One of the main honored guests was, outside of Smart, was, Therese Nielsen.
Oh, God bless her soul.
Yeah. And there wasn't a lot of time to interact with her, like, in her line, but I saw a picture that you got with her. you got something very special signed.
It's now, like, a tradition. Every time I meet Therese Nielsen, she signs my boob. or my plate, like, my boob armor, yeah. My breastplate. And,
Because, of and, course, Therese Nielsen did the art for Eternal Witness.
Yeah, she did. And I wore... She did, which is rare. Usually you don't get the same artist to do the promo. It's really weird, but, cause she signed my Liliana vest, cause she was one of the main inspirations I took for when I did my Liliana cosplay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she signed my boob at Gen Con last year. So I was like, oh sweet, like this is a really great opportunity to get her to sign my Eternal Witness costume. And I felt really blessed because she actually remembered what boob she signed on my on my Liliana, and so she purposely signed my other boob in Eternal Witness. Like, I feel very honored that Therese Nielsen remembers my boobs and, like, which one she signed. It's not everybody can say that, but so I walked up to her. And she has her booth assistant and partner, Dawn, is always helping her. Mm-hmm. And Dawn started, like, moving a bunch of stuff off the table. And she's like, if you just want to lay down there for the rest of the day, you go right ahead. And I was like, no, I gotta do the pose. So I jump up on the table and I just crouch there as Eternal Witness, like, just hovering over Therese Nielsen's shoulder and almost start crying.
That's so great.
Yeah, almost, like, lost it, and I was like, Jesus Christ, like, keep it together. And so Therese Nielsen's just staring at me. She hasn't said anything to me, and she looks at me, and she goes, like, just super deadpan, she goes, so where's your balls at? And I just stare at Therese Nielsen.
It's a perfectly
like,
normal question.
Yeah, like, the fuck did she just say to me? And on the original... there's actually Eternal Witness has these yellow spheres like dangling off of her skirt. I don't know what they're supposed to be, but I used to have them. They broke and fell off and I never put them back on. And so I just look at her and I just whispered, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. But I was just kind of stunned when Therese Nielsen, like, asked me, like, where's your balls at? Like, where are your balls? Like, I don't fucking know. Like, at first I'm, like, almost wanted to, like, reach for my crotch and, like check or something, like, pop and check or something. But she just sat there and, like, oogled at my costume and said that I did a beautiful job. Again, cue me almost starting to cry. And there's a ton of people in her line. And they're all taking pictures, and I'm not trying to, like, break down. But I got this, like, huge, like, doofus grin on my face. I am just, like, pure 100% happiness. And she busts out a bright purple pen. And so on my Eternal Witness, on my left boob, I have a purple Therese Nielsen signature with a little heart on it.
That's great.
And that's, like, I almost want to, like, now retire that piece and hang it on my wall and, like, never wear it again, but we'll see. We'll see. It's perfect. That made my weekend. Like, that just literally... And I got to eat dinner with her not once, but twice that weekend, and it was just unreal.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, it literally, I can't believe... Like, I look back and I'm like, that didn't happen.
Yeah, I always just want more time to, like, hang out and chat with the artists, like... But, like, especially when it's, like, you know, like Neil Sanders, there's like a signing limit. You can't get sketches or anything. You can't really strike up a conversation. It's so tough. Yeah.
I can't describe how, like, honored is the best way to, like, I can literally, like, at that GP, I just would, because they all have, like, their chairs and stuff around them, and I would just casually kind of walk up, and I would just sit there, and they'd be like, oh, hey, Christine. And then they would just keep, like, you know, sketches or what, you know, on altering their cards and stuff, and I would just sit there next to them, not saying anything, just watching them, and it was just unreal to, like, be able to sit there and do it. I got to talk to Eric. I always get to bullshit with RK.
RK Bliss is amazing.
Yeah, I know. We're fucking, like, super buddies now, because he's at it as many GPs, not, like, 10 times more GPs than I ever am.
Yeah, he is the hardest working artist in Magic.
Without a doubt.
Literally just about every North American Grand Prix, and I've seen him traveling to, like,
European and Asian ones. He's going, his next one is London.
Yeah,
well, I think he's going to Providence, and then he's going to London after that, but I got to sit next to, like, Clint, and Clint actually did, like, cause a while ago, I never really talked about it, I made a costume for Temporal Trespass. Cause she was on the art for, or she was on list, like, all of the deck, you know, the packs and everything. They use that art for a lot, and everybody's like, oh god, it's Liliana and fucking, you know, in cons, but I really liked it, and he actually did a sketch for me on, like, which the lower half of the card looked like, what he pictured it. Oh, nice. And I was like, holy shit, I have, like, a whole, I know what the entire, like, what she's wearing. It's trippy. And then I told Eric that I was like, oh, I'm gonna do an Olivia soon. Yeah. And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do that top, because you kind of went crazy. He's like, yeah. He's like, I'm not really too sure what I was doing. He's like, I just wanted ruffles. And I was like, well, you fucking achieved it. And he's like, well, you do armor. He's like, just make it out of armor. You'll look badass. So, and he's like, do you need help? And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to need all the fucking help. He's like, email me. Message me on Facebook. We'll get this together. And I was like, holy shit. Like, I have Eric. You know, Eric's blessing of just make it armor. You're good at that. Like, it's unreal to hear that coming from, like, somebody you idolize. Like, no, you're good at that. Here, do my, you know, like, Therese Nielsen, she straight up asked me, she's like, so what card of mine are you going to do next?
Nice.
She was like, before I see you at a next event, you better have a new one. And she's, and then she's like, I really love Bassandra. That's one of my favorite paintings. Or Hannah, I love that, you know, and I was like, holy shit, I feel like, I'm feeling super peer pressure by fucking Therese Nielsen right now.
I mean, hey, if you want to get into the Weatherlight crew, there's Hannah too.
Yeah, like, I literally couldn't believe it. It was just, this whole weekend was just surreal. Like, it's not, I feel like I came back from, like, a little dream that was GP Charlotte.
Yeah, me too. I got home and it was like 56 degrees and raining. I'm like, this isn't the same planet, is it? Like,
definitely not in the south anymore.
Yeah, no, I
planes walk back here. Like, what's going on? Like,
yeah, I came back to 104, just super dry, super hot weather, and I was like, well, California.
Yeah, I got to add 3 artists to my artist collection playmat: Mark Poole, Noah Bradley, and Jason Angle. I actually missed Clint because I think every time I wandered over there, he was working on, like, a commission or something. Like, there was always a little sign up, so
people were keeping him busy. He had homework each night, quote unquote. It was super funny. But they had a great lineup for artists there too. Like, holy shit.
Yeah. Like, it's not the absurd number of artists that Vegas had, but it was still a very solid lineup.
Yeah, freaking, my god, Vegas, everything was over, almost too overwhelming on that. Like, I literally felt like I didn't get to see all the artists that I wanted to see. I mean, it was harder in costume. And then just, like, the sheer amount of people, Vegas was almost too much. Like, Charlotte was nice. It was the perfect balance of big, but not too big.
Yeah. We didn't mention, like, I was going to this thing, like, you know, this event's just not going to be as big as it could be, like, because Vegas was 2 weekends ago, and, like, a lot of people are still hungover from that. Providence is on the East Coast, like, the following weekend, you know, and that's standard instead of modern, which is, you know, a little more accessible even with Modern Masters, and there were still 3,000 people in the main event.
Yeah, which was really good. Really good.
Like, I was lamenting all the people who weren't there, and then it was just like, there's a lot of fucking people here!
Yeah, if fucking GP Vegas wasn't the weekend before, I'm sure it would have would have been around 5K easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, there'd been like just like another week or two to, you know, to warm up to it, to let people, you know,
let their wallets kind of
yeah,
come back for a second just to blow it all again.
Yeah, like you'd think like the first modern event after Modern Masters would be a big deal, but. And it was,
I
like,
there was a lot of people there when I ran into Adina and Chris Lansdell, formerly of Horde of Notions.
Yeah.
That was a little crazy. I did not expect to see either one of them.
Yeah, I was happy to see Chris.
Yeah, I've seen Lansdell at a couple events, but I didn't get a chance to meet Adina.
Yeah, for me, I guess anybody that watches my Twitter feed knows me and Lansdell don't always get along, but he was very amicable. Mm-hmm. And Chris, if you ever, for any godforsaken reason, listen to this, it was cool meeting you, and I hope next time we actually get to get a game in. That was my one regret from this weekend, is I didn't get to play cards with everybody I wanted to.
Yeah, also, I missed you meeting Lansdell. Like, that was a thing, too. Like, I'd love to have been there for that and be like, yeah, I podcast with him now. What do you think about that?
It was kind of funny, because, like, you know, as I stated, me and Chris do not always get along for a variety of reasons. And, some of them, actually a lot of them having to do with both of us have tremendous egos. And, so I'm standing there and I just talked to Chewie and Jake, who was my OG Commander staple guy for a long time, had come up and we were talking, and then Lansdell just, you know, appears out of nowhere. And mm-hmm. Chewie's like, oh, hey, look, there's Jack. Of course, like, you know, throwing me to the wolves immediately. And I look up at him and I'm just like, hey, Chris, how are you? And he looks at me like really puzzled for a moment, because I guess, like, despite posting myself like without any pants, you know, my shirt pulled down so you can see how much chest hair I have and all this shit, like, Chris really had no idea what I looked like. And he's just like, wow, you look normal. And I was like, yeah, you know, like, it's me, man. I'm just me. And so we kind of chit-chat for a little bit, and I wish him luck in the main event. So, yeah, it was very surprising seeing him there, and it was even more surprising seeing Adina, and the only way I recognized her was because of the ponytail. Like, that was the only way I knew who she was. Trying to think. Oh, yeah, big, big, huge fucking shout-out to all the judges who were there this weekend. Despite what you folks might think of judges work their asses off.
Holy shit, they do not get enough, like, love at all.
They don't get enough pay either, so treat your judges with respect and love. They bust their asses so that you have a great experience.
Fuck yeah.
Yep, judges. They just wear their feet down to the bone for us. Oh, speaking of which, shout out to ASIC shoes. I got bought a pair of ASICs like the previous weekend and wore them this whole event, and they were awesome. So yeah, they're good.
Do we have anything else, Jeff?
Jack, when another thing that happened that I didn't witness, but you witnessed something at the top of the
Escalators. Oh, the thief?
Yeah.
Yeah! Okay. So, again, another sign that I'm from fucking Mayberry, North Carolina. So I reached that point where my body's like, I need caffeine and nicotine, and I need it now. So me and my wife decided we're going to go up, we're going to get some Starbucks, we're going to smoke. And while we're getting Starbucks, my barista is in the middle of, like, writing my thing on my drink, and he just looks up, and he just kind of shakes his head. And I look over my shoulder, and the cops have this dude on the ground, you know, they're talking on their walkie-talkies, they've already handcuffed him and everything. And the dude behind me was in the main event, and he was just like, oh, thank God they caught him. And I was like, caught who? And, you know, as there is with every Grand Prix, there was a dude taking bags and taking deck boxes and all that shit. And so I'm standing there and I'm stirring my drink. And this guy probably weighed, you know, 98 pounds in soaking wet clothes. Okay? And the entire time, like, the cops are just dragging him off, and you can tell they're just exhausted with this person already. He's just like, y'all ain't shit, y'all are bitches, y'all ain't shit, you're hiding behind a fucking badge, blah, 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 blah. Alright, so, PSA to any nefarious people who are probably listening to this cast. If the officer outweighs you 2.5 to 1, just give up! Okay? Like, you have the right to remain silent and the right to an attorney, so just shut the fuck up, be nice to the cops, especially in this day and age, and just go with it, okay? Be nice to the officers, don't shit talk them. But yeah, that happened, and it was wild to see, because they just, like, it was like watching two tigers jump an antelope, I guess is the best way to say it. Because they came around the corner, and I blinked, and he was on the ground. So it was intense to see that. So big shout out to the Charlotte Convention Center plainclothes police officers that did that. We love anybody that catches thieves in this community. Yeah, I guess that's pretty much everything that happened this weekend. The rest I'm going to write about in my article for Friday, so yeah.
One other thing that happened Sunday after you left was I hung out a bunch with Celso. Oh, I will just drop in this little humble bag. I did, someone gave me, like, an event ticket. I think, like, Trevor and Renee had one extra that they'd given to Celso that he gave to me, so I jumped into a draft and crushed it, and that was awesome. But hanging out with Celso, towards the end of the day, some of his, friends from, like, Knoxville showed up. I'll put as many of their names in the notes as I can. They were cool guys, but one of them pulled out this stack of cards and asked Celso to rank them, and it was a collection of bears from Magic. Starting with, like, you know, 9th edition Runeclaw bears, up through, like, you know, Forest Bear, a.k.a. Party Bear, and Balduvian Bears, the eponymous, you know, like, you know, these weird, like, portal, like, river bears, and, like, you know, revised and fourth grizzly bears. But that was just, it was fantastic, just going through all the bears, and just ranking them, based on how cool they were. And one Twitter question we had from Celso for Sprankle was which bear would you be most likely to cosplay as?
Which bear would I? Holy shit.
If you want it narrowed down, he offers original grizzly bears, forest bear, and Balduvian bears.
Huh.
Which I don't think anyone else can be Balduvian bear, to be honest. Let's just toss that one out.
Well, instead, can I be Yeva Nature's Herald bear?
That's a good call. That is a good call.
Like, fuck everybody, can I do that one?
Yeah, that's a bear.
I'm gonna do that one.
Alright.
I'm Yeva's Nature's Herald's elf shaman bear writer thing.
Also known as the most playable elf.
Here we go. We have officially answered a Twitter question. I don't know if we've actually gotten a Twitter question before to answer.
Oh, so fuck. We're that much closer to a heavy metal crossover, yeah, aren't we? Like, oh, god damn it. All right. Yeah, I guess we could maybe invite Kevy or Maddie on at some point if they're not too busy.
I guess.
Or the problem is they record the same night.
Well, I will say this, Jeff. The crossover will probably begin sometime in November. And you know why.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
I guess we can't mention that, can we? The super secret shit.
Yeah, that's confidential.
You're just fucking shit up over here, aren't you?
No, we actually, I will touch on this real quickly, without naming any names or anything. So there might have been a gathering of people at a certain restaurant in a certain city in North America this weekend that talked about major things that, are going to be going on with a website that you might be listening to this podcast on. And that's about as far as we can get for right now, folks. But I will say this, keep your eyes peeled to mtgbrewdeals.com, which has the finest in original content creation since the War of 1812. And see, I figure if I just keep kicking the date back, eventually nobody will call me out on it anymore. Because there might be some very interesting things going on there before the end of the year. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyways, Jeff, do we have anything else? Yeah. If I wanted to be really cheesy, I'd say it's almost like a conspiracy. But anyways, we got anything else, Jeff?
I'll just say also Sunday night with Celso and his Knoxville friends, who I had never met before and were just awesome. We went to Midwood Smokehouse for barbecue, and that place was awesome. Like, I feel like one of the Mellow Mushroom trips probably should have been there, technically. It was pretty close by. It was not walking distance, but it was good. Their brisket was fantastic. And they had bacon-wrapped jalapenos. Those were delicious. Just to put a nice little cap on
just,
JP
just
bacon.
To say.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Food brags.
All right, so I guess we're going to close it out then. Is that good?
Yeah.
All right. Christine, if you don't mind just going ahead and giving out some of your information where people can either see your cosplays or perhaps donate to that Patreon, which, folks, you should anyways. Christine's doing great work.
Mm-hmm. I did so while we were podcasting.
Did you really?
Yep.
Yes. Oh, my God. I'm so excited. that just made my night. I'm that fucking Elspeth chick. If you can't find me anywhere else, just look up Elspeth Cosplay and holy shit, there I am. Yeah. But I'm Christine Sprinkle, aka C Sprinkle Run online. You can find me anywhere on the interwebs with that. I'm sorry for my language, but fuck you. I mean, what did you expect listening to this? And donate monies and mana to my Patreon. And it all goes towards a Kalia of the Bast cosplay and Olivia Voldaren. Oh, yeah. So, thank you guys. Thank you very much, you guys, for having me on. Like, I'm super excited to have been on this shit.
No problem. And anytime you want to come back, like, we have two criteria for allowing people on our podcast. First of all, they have to be able to carry on a conversation. And rule number two, which is really the most important, they can't be an asshole. And you, Christine, are not an asshole. So you have a standing...
We've had some assholes on. That's not really a rule.
Yeah, but, you know... The point is, we enjoyed having you on, so of course, you have a standing invitation that anytime you need a place to rant or, you know, plug cosplays or whatever, please let us know. Even though I'm sure we're one of the lesser cast, which you could do so at.
Come on, guys, like...
The fact that we're small time means we can do whatever the fuck we want, you know?
Exactly, enjoy it while you can,
we have
honestly.
The freedom. But I don't know, man, I signed my first thing that wasn't something for Jack, too. Like, there's a guy... Fuck, what was his name?
Stark
Maximum? He was a Chris, who has the Binder of Legends that he gets, like, podcasters to sign.
Oh, yeah, I signed some cards for him, too.
Yeah. He was in the draft that I did, because he was rare drafting to burn event tickets that he, that they just were gonna expire at the end of the day. But yeah, he did not have a Verdaloth, which is my classic commander, but I put the Loguppy logo on a Grenzo, which is the one I happened to bring with me to that event, so. Yep. So yes, that's the one thing I fucking signed.
So anyways, what's your info there?
Yes, I am at Loguppy. The podcast is at Not Another MTG. You can email us to notanothermagicpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks as always to Professor Elemental, who keeps putting out music. That man is prolific as fuck. He just put out another thing with Gaslight Troubadours. Which is apparently, like, kind of electro swing, kind of stuff with, like, a little ghetto funk and even dubstep. So that's another thing of his I need to go get. But that sounds fucking awesome.
All right. Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Big shout out to the professor as always.
Christine, you've been on my list of people I want to get on the podcast for a long time. So, it worked out that being at Charlotte and chatting with you, it's like, this seems like the perfect, time to have you on. Even though you were just recently on a podcast. God, I love that podcast. It was so awkward. I didn't, on Top Level Podcast.
Oh my God. Yeah. I actually had a couple of people at Charlotte come up to me and go, I really love, you know, that podcast. I really like you a lot.
Yeah.
But that was, there's parts where it was super painful. And I was like, oh, I know. I wasn't. Like, when I come on to the Magic podcast, I honestly never expect to talk about Magic, so yeah. I was kind of, like, not fucking ready at all to have, like, a super in-depth goddamn conversation about Commander, and especially its rules, because I don't care. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm gonna just do the thing, and if somebody goes, you can't do that, I'll be like, oh, okay.
Especially when you play Kalia, you just do your thing and hope you don't die before you can.
Exactly. Like, if when I can, like, if all, and like I said, too, which I felt totally debunked when he said that. Like, I was like, yeah, you know, most of the time I don't really plan on ever casting my goddamn commander. And he's like, so wait, you make this entire deck around this one card, but you never expect to fucking play this one card? And I had, like, no joke, I counted it, 4 people. And they're like, I play Kalia, and I knew exactly what you were talking about on that, in that moment. I was like, thank God. At least one thing came, like, across on that podcast where I knew, like, something of what the fuck I was talking about. But the rest of it, yeah, thank God for the X-Men theme. Thank God for that. That's you. That was, like, the only saving grace.
Yeah, like, the last third when you guys get away from Talking Commander is perfectly listenable. It's great. But I was just like, man, I love all the things involved here. Like, I love Flores and Chapin and Commander and Sprankle, but they don't go together.
We don't at all. At all.
So, yeah, skip the first 2/3 and the rest is good. Yeah. Also, like, didn't Flores, like, surprise both of you with it being a PG podcast?
Yeah.
Like, it seemed like Chapin didn't even know.
No, Chapin had no idea. He goes, he literally said, he was like, that's fucking bullshit. And because there's like a good 30 minutes before that was cut out from the podcast where we were talking about that. Yeah. It was bad.
Well, a bunch of that is in. Like, there's a bunch of you guys talking. I don't know how much got cut. But there
Did. Some of it did get cut. Some of it made it. But there's this whole, like, moment where Chapin and I just go fucking dead silent for a bit. And you could just hear us, like, just go, well, shit. Like, what are we supposed to do now? But that podcast was fun.
Yeah.
Painful at parts, but fun.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to Chapin's GP Charlotte report and talking about his sweet, sweet Grixis control deck.
I am too.
With 4 motherfucking cryptic commands. Like, that's how you do it.
That's Chapin. That's him. Like, fucking perfectly. Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to give out my contact info and we'll close this motherfucker out because we're going on way longer than I thought we would. Anyways, I am Jack LaCroix on Twitter. That's JACKLACROIX. I always forget to spell my pen name correctly.
Clues never spells his fucking name.
He likes the color blue. Okay. So anyways, if you look closely enough, his eyes are blue. So you know blue is in his soul. Yeah. But anyways, you can always listen to this podcast, read my Fear and Loathing at Grand Prix Charlotte article that's up at mtgbrodeals.com. You can always follow my blog where occasionally I put up, random horror fiction. I answer pretty much any goddamn question you ask me. At jackfromnc.tumblr.com. I should also emphasize I am extremely not safe for work, so follow at your own risk at any of those respective locations. And folks, this has been Not Another Magic Podcast with Christine Sprankle. Thank you very much for joining us, dear.
No, thank you, guys. I had a blast.
And folks, tune in next week when Jeff does all the work wrangling the talent that's exponentially more famous than we are, and I kind of sit on my ass and make dick jokes the entire episode. Take care, everybody. We'll catch you next week.
Cause all I need is a mushroom cup of tea. That's messed up, but then again, that's up to me. I'm getting mucky in the mud, or I'm stuck up in a tree. Stuck with all my shrooms, having fun in luxury. Cause all I need is a mushroom cup of tea. It's messed up, but then again, that's up to me. It's a must, I'm getting dusted like a lucky honeybee. It's a gift from Mother Earth that she's giving up for free.
Me, I'm out of my head.
So if the sights are getting hectic, try a fresh perspective. Highly recommended, it can stretch time or be a type of anesthetic. It can bend minds or be delightfully so splendid. A young guy, I was highly interested on why some fun guy could get me all arrested. First time that I tested, mum arrived unexpected and I went psycho. A head writhed and bended. Next I dived in and did twice the dose my friend did, and climbed into a tree and went mental till it ended. And now it's everywhere and all the lively kids can get it and get messy like they teach until it's time for paramedics. Instead I let it bless me cause I'm wiser with a method. Each breath I'm getting higher till I feel my mind is rested. Pretension free pretending off the mess I just digested. Tea and sack a sibling for a psychedelic breakfast. Cause all I need is a mushroom cup of tea. That's messed up, but then again that's up to me. I'm sitting in the sun like a perky floppy sheep. But my pupils are dilated, I feel like I'm under sea. Cause all I need is a mushroom cup of tea. It's messed up, but then again, that's up to me. The world is full of wonder, wander in and come with me. It's some stunning mushroom fun and we're all sitting comfortably.
Alright, I guess. Is there anything else?
Let's end on crickets. Hooray! The last thing we've got to talk about is Uncle Choo Choo. We mentioned it, but we came up with this idea that this is how a lot of writers, you know, serious writers actually make money, is writing like if they just give up and write a children's book. So he's gonna do a children's book about Uncle Choo Choo, the Ware Train.
Jeff. I just realized I was fucking on mute. Don't give the idea away, man.
Oh, goddammit.
Don't give the, yeah, we gotta hold it for creative control.
Okay. Let me, just imagine a train with like Chewie's face and like the cow catcher is like his big ginger beard. It's fantastic. Like.
And, Treasure Clue's the pirate ship. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah, it's his mortal enemy.